And welcome to another edition of Sports Look on this Thursday evening here on Care Radio, brought to you by Hamada Wealth Management, Gerber Electric, High Voltage Bar and Dance, Exchange Bank, and Petro Convenience Store. Gus Counts with me, Tom Counson. Well, it is a very busy schedule. It's basketball season, and the second semester is well underway. We're going to have hoops tomorrow night on Care Radio. High school basketball, because it'll be Marhill Mount Academy and Valley Falls. Saturday afternoon, after some home games to begin the second semester, the Benedictine Ravens are going to be on the road. We'll be with them in Olathe. Ravens at Mid-America. Ladies game at 2 Saturday afternoon, and the guys at 4 o'clock. Next Monday, Ravens are going to get right back on the road and travel over to Marshall. We'll be there as it's Benedictine Missouri Valley, 5:30 and 7:30 Monday evening. Tuesday will begin high school basketball tournament action. And then next Thursday, Ravens with a third consecutive road trip down to Baker. So lots of hoops coming up here on Care Radio. And tell you what, guys, when we get looking up and down, we have had a lot of games. And speaking of games, we had a couple of really interesting games. JCN at ACCHS Tuesday night is we were out there with those high school teams. And first of all, Lady Tigers, we expected them to be really good coming into the season. They continue to be really good. They're going to be a contender. However, for ACCHS, it's going to be a little bit of a different postseason, because you've got to be aware that for the first time in a while, they will be playing in the 3A sub-state later in the year.
Yeah, I think so. Being able to look forward to sub-state, and it's kind of crazy because we always talk about kind of where we're at in the season. We're getting ready for kind of that stretch run and be able to look at sub-states, because they're going to be on us before we know it. But right now, the Lady Tigers are playing really well. They had a nice win Saturday over Jackson Heights. They turned around and beat JCN the other night, 49-23. They remain unbeaten in the conference. And so for ACCHS, yes, you can start to peek forward. But, I mean, right now I think your eyes are on trying to finish the regular season undefeated and win that Northeast Kansas title.
Yeah, there's no question about it. Coach Eckert knows what his team's gonna want them to do. And for the Lady Tigers, I mean, the conference is always very competitive. And for the Atchison County, their next trip is going to be up to Horton this weekend. And so they're going to be up at Horton on Friday evening. Then they're going to be in their mid-season tournament before they go up to Donovan West. I think an unusual opponent for ACCHS. That's going to be at the end of the month. And then they wrap up January with a home date with Morehill Mount Academy on the 31st.
Pretty nice little bell curve going on right now in the girls' side of the Northeast Kansas League. You have ACCHS undefeated at 8-0. You've got Jackson Heights at 6-1. Then you go to JCN and Morehill Mount Academy, both at 5-2 in the league. Valley Falls and Pleasant Ridge at 3-4. Oskaloosa 2-5. Horton 1-7. And McLouth looking for their first win of the season in conference play.
Yeah, and for ACCHS, again, another tip of the hat to the Lady Tigers is they were able to come away with what had to be a big win. Not only just wins are always big, but a big win because you defeated a rival team that you have gone back-to-back with, for a couple of years, and they broke of what was, at that point, a 51-game winning streak in the conference by Jackson Heights. So Lady Tigers, coming up big in a big game to continue to be on top of the conference 1-2 with the Lady Cobras.
Some of the other games that went on around the conference the other night, it was Pleasant Ridge over Valley Falls. It was, Troy over Onega. You had Jackson Heights bouncing back, knocking off Oskaloosa 68-33. Now, switching our attention to the guys' side, you had a good one out in Effingham on, what was that, Monday night?
Tuesday night.
And the Tigers able to come away with a win in the guys' game.
Yep, no question about it. And again, a hard-fought game in ACCHS. I tell you what, in close games, they're really, really tough. We saw them go overtime with Horton in a close game, about a week ago. And then we saw them again in a close battle with JCN from start to finish. And when it's said and done, that Northeast Kansas League, you talked about the girls' side, how good it is. How about on the guys' side, where MHMA is in front, leading the pack at 6-1. The Tigers right behind them at 6-2 in the conference. Atchison County 7-2 on the season. So Coach Smith has got them playing well. Coach Rapplinger's got the Ravens playing well. And a couple of first-year coaches holding the top two spots.
Yeah, you know, in that guy's division right now, it's a pretty close race, right? You talk about Morehill Mount Academy on top at 6-1, ACCHS at 6-2, Horton right there at 5-2, Valley Falls knocking on the door at 4-3. You've got Jefferson County North at 3-3, then Oskaloosa, Jackson Heights, Ridge, and then McClouth looking for their first win. So.
Yeah, up and down the NEKL. Very, very good basketball. And let's not forget the Phoenix, because I got a chance to see them Friday night, and they played against a really, really talented Highland Park team. And because Highland Park's got some guys who are going to be playing next-level basketball.
Yeah, I mean, like, they've got a lot of talented guys. They had a pretty good team, you know, and Atchison, able to hang with them, just couldn't quite knock them off. But, again, that's a really good Highland Park team that's going to win a lot of games in the Topeka area this year.
Yeah, no question about it. And for Atchison, you know, not only they have Highland Park, but they're going to have more Metalock Conference games, as they are going to be at Wyandotte, or they were, I guess, they played Wyandotte, is that tonight? And then they've got at Washington, it is for on Friday. And then Atchison is going to go to, well, I think it's going to be a fun tournament for them. They're going to go up to Nemaha Central for their tournament week play.
Yeah, and we kind of talked about it a little bit, glazed over that it was a good chance to just see how Atchison kind of stacks up with, you know, some of those big seven area teams. And over the years, that's become kind of an interesting little tournament that Nemaha, what do they call it, like the Raider Classic or something? Or no, it's not the Raider Classic, it would be like the Thunder
probably
something.
The Thunder Classic, yeah. I don't know. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, whatever their mascot is at the moment. But, yeah, it's kind of a cool grouping of teams and a chance to see some teams that, and see, that's what I like about Tournament Week. You get a chance to see some of those teams that just you're not going to see throughout the year play each other. So, some games going on around the area Friday. You've got JCN going to Jackson Heights. ACCHS will be at Horton. Pleasant Ridge will be at Oskaloosa. Valley Falls at Morehill Mount Academy. You've got, talked about a moment ago, Washington at Atchison. There is some wrestling going on. Holton is going to be at the Newton Invitational. Oskaloosa will be at the Morehill Mount Academy invite with, looks like, Nemaha Central, Donovan West, Riverside, all at that wrestling. And I think I sent you something yesterday. ACCHS has an interesting wrestling outing, and that was tonight, right? Yeah. The duels is ACCHS is going to take on Olathe West and DeSoto.
And here's okay. The deal. You're talking 6A schools. I think that there's the smart money's on the Tigers winning this.
Yeah, I'm telling you. ACCHS has wrestled some, you know, really big teams over the last couple of years. So, again, Olathe West and DeSoto. That is King and Queen of Mats. So, get out to Effingham and check out some wrestling in the orange and black.
There you go. Hey, that all said, we've got lots of hoops to talk about. We're going to shift over, talk a little bit about Benedictine College things and stuff coming up. Sport Look continues on Care Radio right after this. Back with you here on Sports Look. Glad to have you along with us. And last night, Gus, we were up at the Nolan Gymnasium, Benedictine, for the very last time ever. Kind of hard to believe that, but hosted Evangel. And Evangel coming in, let's first of all talk about the ladies' game. Evangel, they're just pretty good, coming away with a 70-57 win over Benedictine. Jumped out to a big lead early. And in spite of Jennifer Jacobs with another fantastic game, I love the way they are implementing her into the team concept here. Jennifer with 23 points last night, but it was a 70-57 Evangel win in that one up in the Nolan.
Yeah, do you feel like right now this Lady Ravens team, and you talk about Jennifer Jacobs and how well she's been playing for this team, but right now, that's kind of what they need. Like, they need Jennifer to score to try to maybe draw some of that defense to the middle and open up some of those outside shots right now.
Yeah, I think that there's no question, and some of those outside shots just not necessarily falling. Last night, Lady Ravens just couldn't hardly buy a shot. They were 3 of 20 from three-point range last night. 15% is probably not the number that you're really needing to have, particularly when you're hosting a very good team. But, again, you get the ball inside. Those shots will open up. Those shots will eventually fall. And Jennifer, again, 9 of 13 shooting the ball, 5 of 8 at the free throw line. She had, like, 4 boards and, you know.
Yeah, she finished up with 23 points. But for me, the biggest stat.
I can tell you my biggest one.
35 minutes?
No, one foul. Oh. So Jennifer, in her career, has, you know, I think she started off kind of getting a lot of contact going on and getting a little foul trouble and finding that 35 cut down to 18.
Yeah, and so maybe our two things like go hand in hand, right? She doesn't get fouls, so she's able to play those 35 minutes. And so it's crazy to see a big play 35 minutes for you.
Yeah, Benedictine going, what, last night, 9 deep into the into the bench. And another problem that Coach Folsom is dealing with, he's got some players who are injured and some who are unavailable, but hoping that they are well and healthy and back in the short term.
Yeah, in this time of year, and I would actually say probably within the next 10 days, you start seeing this happen more. Everybody starts getting banged up, right? Going into February, that's when everybody's just beat up, everybody's tired, and that's when coaches get a chance to figure out what kind of a team they've got. Is it going to be a team that, you know, they can find different pieces, put them out on the floor? Because how many times in February have we said, well, here we are, 15, 20 games in the season, this is the first time we've seen this combination. And I think it's because you just start finding groups and honestly just finding 5 players that can get out there and give you some minutes.
Yeah, the question becomes, how deep are you? Okay, you're going to find out how deep you are when you get a couple of your maybe starters or certainly some of your very early entries, you know, that get a lot of PT, and they're not available anymore. And that forces you to do a lot of things. And for Benedict and for the girls particularly, they're thin at the 5. You know, they're in the middle. They've got some players injured. And again,
and that's why Jennifer played 35 minutes last night.
She's playing
35 right?
minutes. And I'll tell you what else it brings. Sometimes you get those unusual combinations where you're playing, you know, more smalls out there. And if you noticed it last night, we noted it during the course of the broadcast, they went to a zone defense. Okay. And Coach Folsom would prefer to not do that. But sometimes necessity dictates what you do.
Yeah, you know, and I think they got into a situation where they had to use a lot of timeouts in the first half. So, again, you're trying to buy timeouts on the floor. And by running that zone defense, you're going to buy yourself a little bit of a break. So,
yeah.
It was a tough one for the Lady Ravens, but again, let's also not discount how good of a team Evandra was. They had, you know, Micah Clayton put up 21 points. She was 10 of 13 shooting from the floor, pulled down 6 boards. I mean, some nights, that's just how that's going to roll.
Yeah, and as you go around the league from last night, there were some big games. I don't know that there were any real surprising outcomes in the course of last night, as you had Grandview. Well, maybe that is a surprise. I don't know. Grandview defeating Mid-America up in Des Moines, 79-56, Ravens' next opponent.
I would say it wasn't a surprise, but the difference in that ballgame that Grandview was able to win so handily.
Baker defeats Missouri Valley at home, 67-60 last night. It was Clark with a 12-point win at home over Culver Stockton. Mount Mercy, a 21-point W over Graceland. It was Central Methodist winning by 30. That will surprise nobody. They defeated Park. And, of course, it was Peru State at home. Lady Bobcats are a little resurgent as they defeat William Penn 59-48. 48 points? That's not a very big number.
I can't figure out Penn, right? Like, they played Benedictine up in the Penn gym a couple weeks ago, and they couldn't miss a shot, right? Like, they just hit everything they threw at the rim, and then last night they struggled to get anything on the board, scoring 48 points in 40 minutes. And Peru State coming out with a win right there. They're second of the season in the conference.
So. And as it is so often, this conference on the women's side is laced with very good teams. And you look at the top, you'll find a Central Methodist team that not only 9-0 in the conference, but 15-0 on the season.
They're not going to lose, right?
I was going to say, I'm going to say right now, I'm shocked if Central Methodist loses a game, and I don't mean just through this conference season. I mean, I would be shocked if they lose a game, period.
You think they can go wire to wire and win the whole thing?
Yeah.
Yeah, I do too. I mean, they're just it, right?
You can't put, you know, 3 or 4 Division I players out there and like they do and surround them with a lot of great talent, you know, a lot of JUCO players and stuff that have come into that program, 1 or 2 year players Coach Davis has brought in to Fayette. You can't bring in all that talent, and they've meshed really well. And part of it is he hasn't had to bring in, you know, a lot of new players. He brings in a couple of new players every year for that 1 year, and you still have some things going on. And
so,
there
see,
you go.
I think that's the trick. Bring them in for 1 year, 2 tops,
yep.
Right? Because you get them in, have your season, get them out. Don't let it become a problem. And I laugh because every week we get the conference players of the week. It's always the Central Methodist player, right? Like this week it was Leah Johnson, who on the week averaged 17.7 points a game, pulled down 15.7 boards a game, and she also blocked almost 4 shots a game. So, you know, a good week for her. But I feel like every week, instead of player of the week, it should be just Eagle of the week, because that's what it's been.
And look at how good these girls' teams are. You've got Central Methodist is 15-0. Grandview is 9-1 of the conference. They're 13-3. Clark is 8-2 of the conference. They're 14-2. Mid-America's 10-5. Culver Stockton's 11-5. I mean, you've got all of these teams that are not just above 500 teams. They are way above 500 teams and playing some very, very good ball. And the middle of the pack, then, where Benedictine resides, is just jammed up.
Yeah, I mean, you got a lot of good teams in this conference. And you start looking at it. We've talked about this ever since we've come back from the Christmas break, that this is a rough portion of the season for the Lady Ravens, how they start off the second half, right? You get Central Methodist at home. You got Grandview at home. Last night you had Evangel at home. You're going to go to Mid-America on Saturday. On Monday, you're going to go to Marshall, where just if something crazy is going to happen and you walk away from the story or from the season with a story, you're going to go, remember that time when we were at Marshall and fill in the blank, right? I mean, because there are so many stories that start like that, right? This one time we were in Marshall and fill in the blank. So, I mean, for the Lady Ravens, this is really a rough part of the season. This is a chance to find out, you know, what kind of team you're going to be. And so, again, I think we talked about last night on the broadcast, you have to kind of weather the storm right now.
And the storm is next week, in the next week, 3 consecutive road games. And you're playing Saturday, then you're playing Monday, then you're right back Thursday, Saturday. I mean, you are playing a bunch, 4 games in the next, 8 days?
Yeah. I mean, it feels like the old days, right?
Yeah.
I play Monday, Thursday, Saturday.
Exactly what it is.
And so, yeah, it will be a lot of games, but if you want the silver lining, you get Park at home next Saturday, so that might be a plus.
You got that going for you, which is nice.
Which is nice.
There you go. Hey, we're going to be back. We got tons more to talk about. Sportsbook continues here on Care Radio. Welcome back to Sports Look as we shift our focus now to men's college basketball and the Benedictine Ravens. Guys, BC played their hearts out last night against an extraordinary Evangel team. Okay, they got down early. They were down 8-0 out of the gate. They trailed by 17, and then they battled back. I mean, not just battled back and kind of made it look better. They cut that gap to 1 point in that game, but Evangel was able to cling and come away with the win up in the Nolan last night. But for BC, frustrating always when you lose, but you don't hang your head about a close loss to a quality team.
Yeah, you talk about a Evangel team who came into town. They're having a great season, right? They've only lost, 2 games all year? Are they 14-2, I believe? And the way they came out and started that game, you kind of had to sit back, take a deep breath, and hope for the best, right? Because Evangel came out firing on all cylinders, hitting a lot of threes. And I think we talked about it a little bit in the pregame that we kind of thought 70 would win that game, and both those teams just blew by that number. I think when the coaches from the conference went in, looked at the scores after the game, they said, oh, wow, those two teams scored a lot. But Evangel was able to just throw in threes like it was going out of style. And for Benedictine, they did a great job of just treading water, and when the three stopped, then they were able to fight their way back into that ball game. But Evangel knocked in 48% of their threes, 13 points. You gave up about 0.25 from the free throw line, right? You know, at 24 of 26 from the free throw line. Like, those two numbers combined, it's tough to win that game.
No question about it. I mean, the shooting that we saw last night in both games, just some phenomenal shot taking. And they got up and down, and an incredible crowd. I mean, that place was packed last night. I was impressed. The students back on campus and classes beginning today. So they were like looking probably for somewhere to go and to be. And that was a perfect spot. And along with the great turnout from the community, those fans were entertained. BC has got, again, you're frustrated. You don't ever want to lose, but man, the way that you played and as hard as you played, you can't be totally upset.
Yeah, you know, I mean, you start looking at some of the numbers from last night. I mean, Ahmad Lewis, a guy who really stepped up for you, he had 17. Belt just continues to shoot well. He was 50% from the floor on his way to 15 points. Sam, call me defending player of the week in the conference, Ungashik with 12. You know, for the Ravens, Jaden Timmy knocking in all of his free throw attempts, getting up to 9 points in limited minutes. So, again, for the Ravens, not much to hang your head on for that game. I mean, how many times do we talk about it, especially during basketball season? Sometimes it's just not going to be your night, right? Like, that other team is just firing everything in. But with that being said, I still thought they were going to be able to come back, and they kept fighting back in the second half, got that thing down to one, maybe a couple times, and just could never retake the lead.
Okay, and let's look at this also for Benedictine. They scored 85 points. Every other game in the conference, you know what 85 points would have done?
Probably one.
Would have won every other game, okay? Because this conference is a conference that scores mid-70s, by and large. Last night, Missouri Valley 73, Graceland 76, Mid-America 73, Park 75, Central Methodist 78, Clark 71. I mean, these teams score in typically the mid-70s, then sometimes, you know, low 80s. But if you're getting 85, you're going to win games. And for Benedictine, 85 is a big number. And Coach, you know, I think that he's usually happy, you know, getting in the middle, upper 70s, because you're hoping to hold those opponents back.
Yeah, I mean, and that's been BC's kind of thing under Moody. It's been that you can hold teams to 65 or 70, and you can score that kind of a number to beat them. And last night, like we said, though, those threes just kept falling for Evangel. They moved to 13-2 overall. They're 8-1 in conference play. I mean, they're going to be a tough out, right?
Now, you talk about in the conference, and I'm not looking at it right now, but I will go to that right quick, because we mentioned on the girls' side, there's an undefeated team at the top, Central Methodist, and I don't see them. I seriously don't think they're going to lose a game. On a guy's side, there's an undefeated team in a conference at 10-0 in the conference.
And I don't buy into it.
And I'm not going to. I don't think that's what's going to happen with them.
Yeah.
They're not a national championship team.
No, I mean, and I think maybe some of that is because it's kind of like we'll talk about it in segment four, is that the Patrick Mahomes bar is sometimes just a little higher, right? And I think sometimes we look at Penn and we expect more, right? And I think that's tough for Coach Henry, because it's like, you know, he throws out good teams every year, but sometimes it's just like, they're okay. Like, they might win the conference, but they're not as good as some of his teams.
You go to the Penn gym. I was just up there a few weeks ago. All these banners, but you know what they all are? National tournament banners, Sweet 16 banners, a couple of Final Four banners, but you know what there's not?
Yeah, it's not national champions.
No, there's not one.
And I don't think this team is that team either. They're 14-2. They're 10-0 in the conference. But last night, they go to Peru, and it takes 5 extra minutes to beat them, right? Like, I mean, they went to overtime with the Peru State Bobcats, who aren't a bad team. They're 11-5. They're 6-4 in the conference. But again, they're a middle-of-the-road type team, and they won that game 89-82. So, again, I don't think that on the guys' side we have an undefeated team. I really think a couple losses can still win you this conference.
Yes, and if you look at overall records, 9 teams out of this conference are 500 and above, okay? So
It is an extremely competitive conference, and we mentioned Evangel. Penn 10-0, Evangel 9-1 in the conference, and both of them are 14-2. They're both going to the national tournament. I mean, 14 already? Are you kidding me? Yep. They're getting to that Magic 20 with no problem.
Yeah, and then the next two teams you start looking at, Mid-America at 8-2 and 13-3.
Okay.
They could get themselves in there because, you know, seven more wins gets them to 20.
So his numbers 2, 3, and 4, 9-1, 8-2, 7-2. Those are three of Benedictine's next four games, going back to last night.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it was kind of like what we talked about on the ladies' side, but on the guys' side, it's the same story. It's going to be tough. And you talk about Monday, Benedictine's going to go to Missouri Valley, and yeah, I mean, I know that Coach Lance's team is 4-12 and 2-8, but they're always an athletic team and a tough team to match up with, and they're a team who typically can throw the ball through the net.
Yeah, so it'll be a good one over there. But yeah, top of the conference, Penn, Evangel, Mid-America, Baker, then Peru and Benedictine are tied for the next spot, followed by Central Methodist, and then on down the line it goes. So that all said, Ravens playing well, and we're looking forward to, you know, some little road trips. Haven't been on the road yet in 2023. We'll be with Benedictine down in Olathe on Saturday afternoon.
Yeah, the other games going on in the conference on Saturday. Peru State's going to be at Clark. That's a 12-2. You got Evangel at Penn. That's a 12-2. Then you got Mount Mercy at Culver, Graceland at Grandview, Central Methodist at Missouri Valley. Baker makes a short trip over to Park. Those are all 2-4 games. So
there you have it. Hey, quick break. We're coming back. Sports Look is going to continue right here on CARE. Back with you here on Sports Look is Gus. We always like to talk about how the Chiefs and company are doing. You know what? They're doing pretty well. They get a day off. I guess is that good? That's good, isn't it?
Yeah, buys are always nice, right? Kansas City probably has. You know, you look at that Raiders game on Saturday, and that was probably their best game of the year, right? Like, they were able to put it together in all three facets, keep the Raiders down, make it look easy. And for Kansas City, you got to feel good about where you're going into the playoffs.
Yeah, I would think that you're pretty good. But you talk about the playoffs. The playoffs are now here, okay? Saturday, Sunday, here we go. And you've got some interesting games. I'm still confused about who's playing whom, where, and when. I think that that's all still very fluid as we go into this this very unusual NFL postseason. But what is all locked in is Saturday, got a couple of games. Sunday, you've got three. And you got a Monday night playoff game, which I think is kind of a brilliant idea. Again, the Shield knows how to market its product.
Yeah, and it's so weird tonight that we don't have a Thursday night game. So, Again, the Shield says, okay, we'll spread it out over the weekend. We'll give you 2, 3, and 1.
One of these next year, it'll be 1, 2, 2, and 1.
Yeah, they'll figure out a way to do it, right? Yeah.
Yeah. So, again, Saturday, you're going to have in the NFC side the Seahawks 49ers, and then on the AFC side, it'll be Chargers and Jaguars.
Yeah, so looking up and down this, let's take a quick step back. Do you have a favorite game of the weekend? Do any of these games just jump off the paper and you say, man, I'm excited to see X?
Yeah.
Okay.
Cowboys-Buccaneers.
Okay. You just want to see that ship go up in flames and
I'm just looking to see if Brady can continue to be a career undefeated quarterback against Dallas.
I mean, you saw the NFL films thing that they put out the other day. He was joking on the sideline with Mike Evans. He's like, you really undefeated? He's like, yeah. He's like, I know that. Like, I mean, and I think for the Cowboys, there's a lot of unrest. Jerry Jones was kind of elusive the other day when talking about his head coach. I'm telling you, Jerry Jones wouldn't have a problem losing this game because it would give him a reason to fire Mike McCarthy and try to go.
Is it Mike's fault?
No, it's just that there's a shinier something on the other side for Jerry Jones. He wants Sean Payton, and I think he's going to do what it takes to get Sean Payton.
Can he get Sean Payton?
No, because I really think that it's going to come down to a lot of people are like, oh, well, Sean Payton could go here or he could go here. Or, you know, the Dolphins would be a possibility. But you got to understand, the Saints still hold his contract for 2 more years. You know what coaches have gone for in the past? At least a first-round draft pick. And I'm going to tell you that the Cowboys are not going to give the Saints a first-round draft pick. I mean, it's just probably not going to happen. So,
well, in the games, okay, Seahawks, 49ers, the Niners, easy, right?
No. You say that.
Yeah.
I'm going,
I believe that.
I'm going Seahawks, right?
Okay.
And the only reason I'm going Seahawks is I think the clock strikes midnight on Brock Purdy and the Cinderella story, right? I think the 49ers have so many pieces that everybody just thinks they're going to get to the championship game. I'm not going to be shocked if they do, but I just am wondering what the rookie does when the games become real.
Okay. Chargers, Jags?
Flip a coin. I mean,
I think the Jags handle
it. I think the Jags can. They did earlier on in the season. The Chargers might be without Mike Williams. You don't know. So, I mean, flip a coin. I'd love to see the Jags just because I don't want to see the Chiefs Chargers.
The early game, the noon game on Sunday, is going to be a Bills freight train.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think.
Even, it was going to be anyway, but now that they're up in the cold, it's going to be. And now you got no Tua, it's going to be.
Yeah, I mean, I just don't think the Dolphins have enough. And here's the deal. Real quick, talk about the Dolphins and all the money they spent in the offseason. You know they finished this year with the same record they did last year. They scored 40 more points than they did last year, but also gave up like 53 more points than they did last year. Like, they spent a lot of money, gave up a lot of draft assets, and at the end of the day, it's the same spot they've been.
It is Tua, everybody says what a great quarterback he is, but my concern with him is he's been breakable.
Yeah, I think that you're going to start looking at Tua as a guy who should seriously think about not playing again. I mean, after for sure two, what we believe has been three concussions in one season, I mean, it becomes a little different when, you know, Tua's married and the whole family thing.
Sure.
And it becomes a bigger deal. I mean, we're starting to see a lot more players retire younger than we used to. And so I'm not saying that he will, but I feel like that's something that he really needs to take into, you know, consideration this offseason.
Yeah.
You know, about where your health is going to be in 15, 20 years.
Let's go to the Sunday afternoon midday game, Giants-Vikings. Talk about bubbles going up. I think here's where the Vikings tumble at home.
Yeah, a lot of people are picking the Giants
to beat
the Vikings.
I heard something funny. I heard that two-thirds of the money is going on the Giants, but 95% of the wagers are on the Giants.
See? That's crazy. You know, and I don't know. People seem to think the Giants are believing in Dable. I think the thing is that nobody has believed in the Vikings.
There's
all season,
what it is.
Right? Like,
yeah.
They keep winning, but they keep winning in weird fashion, like the Colts game where they got way behind and then came back. They're really good in one score games. So that also means they're playing a lot of really close games. Again, this game doesn't do anything for me. I'll have it on, but I could care less about the Giants or the Vikings. It'll be funny to see the Giants win that one.
Ravens-Bengals is going to be the Sunday night game, and there's one that does nothing for me. I mean, I think the Bengals win this thing, but, you know,
yeah.
I'm so indifferent.
Yeah, especially if the Ravens are going to play an undrafted quarterback, you know, an undrafted rookie quarterback out of Oregon, and that's going to be Anthony Brown. I just don't see that game going very well for the Ravens. They don't have enough. The Bengals are really good right now. I think they're probably the scariest team and maybe the best team right now in the NFL. And so I just think that thing could be a runaway. Cincinnati favored by 8.5. The over-under is 40.5. Can I tell you, I wouldn't be shocked if the Bengals score over the 40.5.
Then the Monday night game, of course, Cowboys-Buccaneers. I've always said I'm really curious about this one. And it's not a wish. It's a really belief. I think the Buccaneers win this.
Yeah. I mean, the Cowboys' defense over the last couple weeks has not been good. And I don't know if you saw the statistical breakdown about the Cowboys at home on turf versus the Cowboys' defense on grass. It is night and day. This game's going to be played on grass. They're slower on grass. I feel like this thing could be bad.
As a guy who's played football, is there that much difference? Does it really make any difference? Do you care when you walk out there what's underneath your cleats?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's a big difference because, again, me not being a very fast guy, you just felt like you were going a little faster on the turf. That stuff, you know how it's going to be when you step out on it. So I do. I think there's a big difference. You also don't know when you come to grass how it was maintained, right? Sometimes the field's in good condition, sometimes it's in bad, at least with turf. You know what you're getting every time you step out on it. So, again, I do think, though, that the Buccaneers. And can I tell you, I'm a little scared that somehow Brady finds his way back to that national championship game.
Could happen. Hey, quick focus on college basketball. Kansas, boy, a little bit of a scare, but they were able to come away with a big win over Oklahoma. Kansas State, a little bit of a scare, came away with a big win over Oklahoma State. The two teams here in the Sunflower State are pretty good.
Yeah, Kansas State jumped all the way up to number 11 in the country, and they probably should, right? Like, they're playing really good basketball. They're beating some good teams. They beat Texas and Baylor last week.
Now, everybody wants KU to beat Iowa State in a ranked matchup and K-State to win at 17 TCU in a ranked matchup
to set up
next
Tuesday.
Yeah,
set up Kansas at Kansas State next Tuesday. I think that's where everybody's at. Do I think it'll happen? Yeah, probably, right? Like, I would feel much different about that Kansas-Iowa State game if it was at Hilton, because KU doesn't play well up there,
never,
and Iowa State plays really good at Hilton. But with this thing being at Fog Allen, I think that Kansas is going to be okay there, and Kansas State has just been white hot, right? Like, I mean, they've had no problems, so I think Kansas State wins that. Sets up for a fun one on Tuesday, and when it comes down to it, I just don't think the Hawks are going to lose to Kansas State.
There you go. So it's going to be a good one, be an interesting one, and that one is going to be played in Bramlage Coliseum.
So the one thing real quick, and then we'll get out of here, is how does Kansas State player react coming up here over the next couple weeks? With Jerome Tang, their first-year head coach, the former Baylor assistant, now his name is being thrown around for the Texas job. They're going to throw a bag of cash at him if they want him. It'll be interesting to see how those players start reacting as a lot more buzz around the program. And Tang, I'm going to tell you, he didn't do anything to shoot those notions down the other day. I think he basically said, you know, I'll be where I'm supposed to be, and that'll be fine.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, oh, it wasn't I'm not interested in that. I'm at Kansas State right now. It was like, well, I'll be where I'm supposed to be.
What kind of allegiance does he have to K-State?
Right, none.
Not
you
any.
You know, I mean, and that's...
There's the check.
Right. So, again, it'll be...
And he's earning his check, by the way, right now.
He's getting paid well.
Yeah, he's getting paid well, and he's done a great job and deserves his money. Hey, we want to thank our fantastic Sport Look sponsors, Hamada Wealth Management, Gerber Electric, High Voltage Bar and Dance, Exchange Bank, Petro Convenience Store. Upcoming schedule, tomorrow night, Marham at Academy Valley Falls. Saturday, Benedictine at Mid-America in the afternoon. Monday, Ravens at Missouri Valley in the evening. Tuesday, high school tournament games, and the next Thursday, Ravens back on the road at Baker. Tim, we'll greet you next time. For Gus Couch, Tom Couch. So long, everybody.